righty. Well, praise the Lord. So, this is Apostle Jan. Hey. And I guess we're talking about the so-and-so's word. So, I'm just making an installment, or I'm making a post. Okay. So, I'm in my office at church. So, if the doorbell rings, I'm going to put it on pause. I'm just telling you up front. So, I'm just a little concerned. I had to go and print the scripture out because for some reason you can't go back and forth on the recording. So I might be referring to it on a piece of paper, okay? Because I actually did print out what I want to talk about. And what I always want to talk about is the sower. And the sower sows the word, which is the subject matter. And I'm beginning to see some things on here. And I want it to be a cautionary tale for you, because my focus and the focus of this group is about relationship more than anything. Because you can tell people to pray to God and all that kind of thing, and they don't have any relationship. And that's the reason why there's no breakthrough in people's lives. And we have to be responsible ministers. And not just fantastic ministers, but we have to be responsible for the things that we feed and sow into people's lives. The words that we speak carry a heavy weight. And we as ministers, if we are carrying those titles, we have to be careful about the words that we say. One of the things I want to talk about today is when we're talking to people about different things that they're looking for God to do for them. Most people are looking for blessings. They want blessing without investment. Investment means that you're taking the time to spend with the Lord for yourself, that you're establishing relationship with the Lord for yourself, not through a minister, not through a pastor, not through a chaplain or anything else, that you're making the investment. How do you make that investment? Well, guess what? You got to open up your mouth and pray. And you got to know what is the appropriate thing to pray. And you have to understand how this whole thing works and how the universe itself works that God created. And they are created with laws. And so you're not going to see things happen in your life when you go outside of the laws that are established by God. And that's why you have to read our Constitution, which is the Holy Bible. And that's how you learn what is applicable to you, what God allows and what He does not. You can be as sensational as a minister as you want to be, but if it is not applicable with the laws of God, it will not happen. We need to be honest with people, because our job is not to be the middleman with people for the rest of their days. These people should become independent and know how to talk to God or know how to get to God for themselves with results, because there's no point if you're not getting results. And you're not going to see that when you go into people. Now, we start out like that because we don't know. But when you've been saved 10, 15 years and you still can't see specifically where God moved for you, then there's a problem with your relationship. And you need to go on a journey and find out what that problem is. And God will certainly let you know. So we're talking today. I wanted to talk a little bit about the soul and souls, the word, and what the purpose is for this group. What we're doing in this group. So I'm looking at Mark chapter 4, which is where, for me, the sower sows the word actually started, and it actually became of the utmost importance. So I'll give you just a little bit backstory on that. Growing up in the church, I grew up in the church, but I was concerned because as much as I was seeing people, you know, dying, and they was broke. And I couldn't understand that. You know, you give me your tithes, you give me your offerings, you're doing all these fabulous things, for the Lord, but at the end of the day, y'all can't even pay for your own funeral. And I wasn't understanding, how is it that kingdom people who believe in the God of the universe can't get nothing done? You can't get the bills paid. That didn't work for me. So I asked the question, I inquired of the Lord, and it was not immediate. I would say a couple of months later, I'm minding my business, and he spoke to me, and he told me in Mark chapter 4, he said, it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to those who are on the outside, he said, everything becomes a parable. And so it's not supposed to be a parable or some kind of cute little story to me, but it's given to me. I have an absolute right to know. And once I learned that I had an absolute right to know, I became one that was in pursuit of knowledge. And not just knowledge to be puffed up, to have in my head, but understanding so that I could show other people how God can do the same thing for them. So when I start talking about the sower sows the word, I talk about it. I can talk about it all day, all night, all year, all long, because it's something that I live by. And when I started out, I was just as green as these trees out here. But I'm not that way anymore. And if you will apply these things to your life will change. But now look at this. This don't have to be your path. This don't have to be your journey. I'm talking about what I saw that worked for me. It might not work for you. You may have a different path because you're a knucklehead. You could be the type of person that's stubborn and you're like, I want to find Jesus for myself. That's fine too. I'm just saying, the sower sows the word. Okay? So let's go to Mark chapter 4. And what I did was, I'm using the Jewish Bible today, the complete Jewish Bible. That's what I'm reading from, and I'll tell you why. Because the King James Version is not necessarily the original version, it's just the most popular. And sometimes I like to go to the complete Jewish Bible just so I can kind of learn those terms myself so that they can become kind of endeared to me. And I'm not wondering what that means, because I learned what that means just by reading. But in Mark chapter 1, it says, Mark chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, again, Yeshua, that is Jesus, began to teach by the lake. But the crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got onto a boat in the lake and sat there while the crowd remained on shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things in parables. In the course of his teaching, he said to them, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky paths where there was not much soil. It sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun rose, the young plants were scorched, and since their root was not deep, they dried up. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked it so that it yielded no grain. Verse 8, but other seed fell into rich soil and produced grain. It sprouted and grew and yielded crop 30, 60, even 100 times what was sown. He concluded, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. And this is important because you know how you have people talk, but they're not really hearing. Because they're not hearing, and they're not really listening. But he said, if you have ears to hear, hear. Verse 10. And when Yeshua was alone, the people around him with the 12 asked him the parables. And he answered them. And this is the key. This is where God met me. To you, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given. Now put a pause right there. To you, to I, the secret of the kingdom has been given to us. So there is a secret. But it's a gift. It belongs to us. But it is up to us to find it. Okay? It has been given. It's given. But those on the outside, everything becomes a parable. You know how you be like, well, how did that happen? Or how did this happen? And it's because they're not on the inside. And being on the inside is to be committed. That's what it means to be on the inside of the kingdom, that you're a committed person. And only God knows who's committed and who is not committed, because it's a heart issue. It's an issue of the heart, and nobody can read your heart but God. So there are certain mysteries, there are certain things that you're not hearing, or you might not be coming to you, or it may be coming to you and you don't understand it. It may have a lot to do with your heart issue. Does that make sense? I hope that it does. Well, and so they that may, yeah, verse 12. So that they may be always looking. Let me start back at 11 because I want you to get this. He answered them, "To you, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given, but to those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may be always looking but never seeing, always listening but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Now, what does that mean? What is that talking about? Why don't you want them to be forgiven? Because it's kind of like, it's not that you're not going to be forgiven, but it's like having a toy and not knowing the proper way to operate it. And that's what we are dealing with. There's so much kingdom abuse, if you would say that. There's so much abuse in the kingdom upon the people of God and upon those who are ministers or claiming to be ministers, but they don't know the Bible. They don't read that Bible. They get a scripture and they go with it, or they saw something on TV and they come and preach that. But it takes time and it takes some years to get developed and get confidence in what God is saying to you and what He's speaking to you. And you know, I don't care what nobody tells you, God wants relationship with you. And those of us who don't have relationship, you can't fake relationship. When you got it, you got it. And you don't have to prove it to anybody. You'll know when you got it. Amen. Okay, so 13. Then Yeshua said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How will you be able to understand any parable? If you don't get this, how are you gonna understand anything I'm saying to you?" The sower sows the message. See, it doesn't say the sower sows the word in the Jewish book. It says the sower sows the message. There is a message. Those alongside the path where the message is sown are people who no sooner hear than the adversary comes and takes away the message sown in them. Now, that could be a prophetic message. That could be, you know, just reading the Bible or whatever the case may be. But what he's saying is, as soon as the adversary comes, takes away the message that was sown. It's like, you know, you go to church, you hear a message, as soon as you walk outside, you cussing and carrying on in the parking lot. That means that the thing you just heard, it didn't sink in. It did not develop within you. So you just wasted 2 hours because you weren't even paying attention. Number 16, it says, "Likewise, those receiving seed on rocky paths are the people who hear the message and joyfully accept it." Those are probably the shouters. "But they have no root in themselves, so they hold out for a while, but as soon as trouble comes, as storms begin to rise, or persecution arises on account of the message, they immediately fall away." Now, do we need to talk about that? That as soon as trouble comes, as soon as persecution comes, all of a sudden you forget the thing that the thing that was sown in your heart. The message that you heard. You see, what happens is when you go to the service or you go to a meeting where they're speaking the counsel of God, that counsel, that word, that message is being sown into your heart to keep you prepared for what may be coming in the week or what may be coming in your future. But a lot of times, like what the scripture is saying right here, as soon as trouble comes or persecution comes, that message you just heard is gone. Otherwise, others are those, verse 18. Others are those sown among thorns. They hear the message, but the worries of this world, the deceitful glamour of wealth, and all the other kinds of desires push in and choke the message so that it produces nothing. You know, all these like multi-level marketing schemes that the people of God are being caught up in, and you ain't made no money yet because you think it's going to be a blessing in that. And the only one getting the blessing is the one that perpetrated the whole thing from the beginning. Because you have a right to find a path to prosperity. Amen. But you might be in cahoots with somebody that don't even know the word. Why would you be in cahoots with people that don't even talk to God? Now, we know about the scripture that talks about, because I hear somebody saying it, because the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Really? Really? Let me tell you about the wealth of the wicked. There's so many people that should have received their kingdom prosperity. They should have got it, but they didn't get it. And they gone on. And those are people that never entered the kingdom. They never accepted Christ. But their wealth, that belongs to us. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. But it's not you taking somebody else's husband or somebody else's wife, somebody else's car, or somebody else's stuff. That's not you. That's not wealth of the wicked. That's wrong. That's wrong thinking. That's wrong teaching if somebody's telling you that. That doesn't even make any kind of sense. Moving on. So where am I? Okay, I don't have nobody to tell me today. 19, but the worries of the world, the deceitfulness, this deceitful glamour, wealth, and all the other kinds of desires push in and choke the message so that it doesn't do anything, or it's not fruitful. It doesn't produce anything because you're looking for wealth. You're over here looking for wealth, but you're not looking for relationship with God. You know, if you get relationship with God, all of that stuff that you're concerned about, I believe it says seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, all the right things, not be scheming and gaming and, you know, trying to get money out of the people of God by having a $50 line or a $100 line, or you prophesying stuff just so people could get money. Yeah, I'm going to tell it. Yes, I'm going to tell it. There's no need for a $100 line. You got Jesus. There's no need for a $50 line. You got Jesus. What you need is a relationship. We need to establish relationship, and ministers, you need to help people establish relationship and stop trying to be God to them or the middleman for them. You're not their guru. Teach them how to get to God for themselves. Learn how to pray. I don't need to be up. I'm up 5 o'clock in the morning praying for you, and you sleep. You somewhere with slobber drooling out your mouth, and here I am calling down the angels to bless you. How fair is that? And then when it is time to give, you like, oh, I think they need to go somewhere and get a job. Really? Think about that. Think about how ridiculous all that sounds. Moving on. Okay, so verse 20. But those sown on rich soil sow the message, hear the message, accept it, and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now, this is something interesting too, because the scripture said you'll know them by their fruit. And I'm talking about these ministers, okay, that's got these churches. You got the church, and everybody in your church broke. They can't pay their bills. They getting put out their houses. That's your fruit. That's the fruit of your ministry. You're like, because I teach them the word. No, you're not. You can't defend against that. And then they looking at you riding in a Mercedes. You need to sell that Mercedes and buy your people some food. Or help them with their bills, okay? And not help them like you so lazy you can't work it out with God. But what I'm saying is, when I say the pastor should help you, I'm not saying that we all don't have the right to live a good life. You know, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm trying to say to you is, what the pastor is willing to do these things, that's not all the time. We don't need you coming every month you ain't got no money. Every month you broke. Every month you need your light bill paid. There's a problem. And then we have these agencies, we have these social agencies that will pay your bills every month. And see, there's no relationship. Here you are, you in a cycle. That's poverty. That's a poverty mindset for somebody to take care of you. That's poverty. And poverty love poverty. And it just continues on. You gotta want something better. You gotta want it. Hallelujah. Anyway, this is about the sower sows the word, and this is a private group. So, if you get offended, send me an email. We'll deal with it. Okay. So he said to them, a lamp isn't brought in to be put under a bowl or under the bed. Is it? Wouldn't you put it on a lampstand? Indeed, nothing is hidden except it be disclosed, and nothing is covered up except to come out into the open. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Now, Jesus done said this. Why does Jesus keep saying it over and over? Because we don't hear. A lot of times we don't hear. We so busy trying to get a shout on. Be hard shouters is the same hard cussers. We gotten to the point where people get on this Facebook thing, and they just say all manner of things. And the ones that grew up in the church will cuss you out just as quick. They don't care. Bible said that these things were happening, and they're like, oh, we in the last days. We was in the last days in the 50s. We was in the last days. We've been in the last days for so many times, so many seasons. We just going through another season right now. This is a season. And we need to be those that us are that who are considering ourselves prophetic, we need to recognize the seasons. Okay? Where am I? Where am I at? 24. He also said to them, pay attention to what you're hearing. The measure with which you measure out will be used to measure to you and more besides. Let me break that down to you. You put a dollar in church, guess what you get back? A dollar. You understand that? It's the measure that you put out there. It's not just the dollar, but it's the dollar mixed with the heart. The $5, but it's mixed with the heart. If the heart is right, then there is an abundance takes place. And we go back to where it talks about in verse 20, those who sow on rich soil hear the message and they bear fruit 30, 60, or 100 fold. Okay? So you can bear more fruit, and the kingdom is about multiples, about multiplicity, but the heart got to be right. I'm telling you, this heart issue, this is something right here. Because if we can't get this heart together, you're gonna miss many a blessing. You're gonna miss many a breakthrough. Because you may. And what somebody did to you, or how they treated you. And no, it's not right how they did you, and it's not right how they treated you, or if they wounded you in a terrible way. No, that's not correct. But God is well able to heal. And he is well able to turn it around. And he knew. He knew. And he's here to help you. But it's like sometimes we don't realize that some of those things that we go through are meant to channel us into relationship, establishing relationship. And we get into places of brokenness and bitterness, and we so hurt that we can't even hear God. We can't hear none Jesus saying. Because we hurt. About what might have been said to us, or how we might have been damaged coming up, or how someone might have molested us or did us in a certain way. Are we so damaged now? And that was the intent that the enemy wanted to do. That's what his whole thing has been to do to mankind from the beginning. And so whatever way that has to happen, he'll try it. But God's well able if you give it to him. And stop feeling the pain of it. Stop drinking when you feel the pain. Stop smoking crack when you feel the pain. Stop smoking marijuana when you feel the pain. You gotta stop that. Because when you do those things, you have entered into the realm of the spirit, but you did it illegally. And anytime you enter into the realm of the spirit illegally, that's a death sentence. Because the only way we're supposed to enter into the realm of the spirit is by Christ Jesus. If you go in any other way, you're a thief and a robber. And there's a death sentence attached to it. And so you have to be careful about those kinds of things. That's why, you know, a lot of these ministers and prophets, they have that death on them, and they think they doing something. You can't get anything done. The Holy Spirit is not working for you, and you're doing a death. It's like a death thing is on you because you have entered in illegally. And some of you are like what we call, they call them soothsayers, but it's like you're not hearing from the Holy Spirit. You're hearing from a familiar, because what we do in the course of our day, we have angels that follow us and record information, but then we also have, you know, other types of spirits that follow us around, and they know about us as well. And some of these people that are walking around saying they're prophets are really getting their information from familiars. And that's why you have to be real careful, because, you know, if you belong to God, he's going to talk to you. He don't need somebody else telling you about you when he could tell you about you himself. So those are, you know, kinds of things you have to kind of stop a minute. He who has ears, let him hear. Okay? So if you're not hearing me, that'd be on you. Okay? I'm not taking that on because I know what I'm talking about. Okay, where am I? 25. Well, anyone who has something, I'm going to go back to 24, okay? Because this is really good. He also said to him, pay attention to what you are hearing. The measure with which you measure out will be used to measure to you, and more besides. For anyone who has something will be given more. I ain't got nothing. I ain't got no money. How does your money keep disappearing? The negatives, negativity will destroy you. And it said, but from anyone who has nothing, even that which he does have will be taken away. That's a principle. This is why you got to read your Bible, so you know that when I speak negative things, there's a principle behind it. The universe has, God created a system. And in that system, when I speak and say I have nothing, then what does it say right there? Where's it at? Even that you have will be taken away. That's why you have to speak differently. You have to speak in a different way. That's why you have to sow words of life. You have to come different. You know, you can't go in that direction. You have to be very, very careful, you know, about the things that you say, because we like to think, well, we're just on the planet. Mm-mm. This planet was created by God. He set it up with rules. And if you don't know the rules, you could mess up your own self because you don't know the rules. And I'm here to tell you, I did not know the rules for a long time. Now I am extremely careful. Okay? Amen. Now where am I? I was at 25, right? 26 says, and he said, the kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed on the ground. Nights he sleeps, days he's awake, and meanwhile the seed sprout and grow. He don't know how it's growing. But itself, the soil produces a crop. Now, we know in the New King James, or in the King James, it says first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, and after that, the harvest has come. Well, here it says by itself, the soil produces a crop, first the stalk, then the head, and finally the full grain in the head. But as soon as the crop is ready, the man comes with his sickle, and because it's harvest time, Yeshua also said, with what can you compare the kingdom of God? What illustration should we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which when planted is the smallest of all seeds in the field. But after it has been planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all the plants, with such big branches that the birds flying about can build nests in its shade. And so it says, with many parables like these, he spoke the message to them to the extent that they were capable of hearing. You see, to the extent that they were capable of hearing. He did not say a thing to them without using a parable, because at that point, he had not blown revelation upon them. The Holy Spirit had not been blown upon them. So he spoke to them in parables. And when he was alone with his Talmudim, he explained everything to them. Now, what is a Talmudim? Talmudim is spelled Talmidim, if you need to look it up. Talmudim is a student. And so we need to be students. All these grown men were students. They were willing to listen. And that's why they became the greatest and most famous people across this earth, because they listened. They were willing to submit themselves to Jesus to learn the ways of the kingdom. They had grown up knowing certain things would take place. And here it was. These things had happened. They had come about. And to them, it was amazing. They were willing to submit themselves. And they became his apostles. Amen. Now, it's just, it had a couple more things on here. And it just talks about, well, I'll go ahead. Because I don't, where am I at? Yeah, it just kind of talks about when they went on the water and the winds rose and everything. And they was scared. Well, why are you scared if you were Jesus? But that's a whole nother conversation. Okay, so when I'm talking about the sower, sows the word, I just want to come in and I wanted to make this post as like a first post that kind of really talks about what it means to be a sower. A sower is just like any other profession. It's a skill and you have to be skillful. So you have to learn. It's an overtime thing. And for me, sowing is something that I do my whole life. I will sow from now until glory. I will always be a sower. So sowing the word, understanding what you're doing. You know, a lot of people don't realize that you should write down different things. Like we have, you have kids. They're not in school right now, but you have children and you're concerned about your children. There's ways that we pray for them because we're concerned. And when you hear them saying different things, you'll know if it's the blade, you know, if it's the ear, if it's the full corn in the ear, if the harvest has come in their life. You'll know that because you'll understand that you were sowing in truth and in the heart, whether it's a mother's heart or a father's heart. You know, this time that we're in is not a time of trying to preach a message. I mean, we have preached so many messages and we got, and our kids are turning into civilians, even with these messages, you know. So it's bigger than that. We have to establish relationship and look, be in relationship in the presence of our children. You know what I mean? You can't be, you know, born again Christian and living with a man. You can't be shacking up with a man and your kids are there and you saying you know, you with the Lord. You can't do that because you're giving out two different pictures there. And the child is going to be angry, or the children are going to be angry, or they're going to follow and do the same things that you're doing. And you can't be shacking up with a woman, and you can't be chasing these ladies, and you can't be chasing these men, and you can't be behaving in ways that don't represent the kingdom, and then want God to move for you. You want blessings, but then you don't want to live the life. And you see it that way. And you know, when a lot of and I do know a lot of them just on Facebook, but a lot of them are like, they so angry with God. They're so angry with the church. They're so angry with the ministers, you know. But God said, you're a light. Light. That you're supposed to be the light. That we're the light. You know what I mean? You are the light of the world. It's a city that, you know, you're sitting on a hill. And he talked about candles because we didn't have no electricity. But now we got electricity and we're still the light of the world. We're supposed to be. So we talk about sowing. You know, you could the way that you sow and the procedure that you go about. There's a procedure that I use when it comes down to sowing and that kind of thing. You know, I was looking today. Well, it was probably the other day, and I was looking at something, and it was the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, right? Because we teach, you know, churches, and we teach ministers about how you can have businesses with your, you know, with your ministry. Because when this pandemic came about, a lot of these churches and ministers are losing their ministries because they base their ministry on people. And that's not how you base your ministry. You know, they were basing their ministry on relationship with people. And you can't do that because sometimes people are suffering and they don't have that kind of faith because you didn't bear the fruit. That was what you, that's what you did, you know? And so when the pandemic came and the churches closed, you found out that people didn't have no foundation in Christ. They had no foundation to pray for themselves. They had no faith. It had not been built into them. They didn't have that to fall back on. So now you got a whole bunch of people out here wandering around. And they don't know what to do. They in fear. They have to stand in the bread line. Different things. The Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Or his seed begging bread. We shouldn't be out here standing in bread lines. And we the people of the kingdom. Except that we weren't prepped. We weren't prepared. Nobody prepared us for such a time as this. I'm not saying that this ministry wasn't prepared. I'm saying that people, they weren't prepared. It was like a shock to the system not to be able to feed your kids and your family. You know, you thinking you might get evicted out of your house and different stuff like that. And you sitting up waiting for the government to get their act together and give you a check. But see, it's about relationship with God. And this should be a teaching going forward. That going forward, you're going to invest in the kingdom. Invest in God. Put your eyes on Christ. So the so-and-so's word, this group that we have, it's more than just talking about the so-and-so's word. This is not talk group. This is action. So what does that mean? It means that my next post, I'm either put it up there because I've taught it so many times. I mean, I got it on record. I got it written. But I'm going to show you how you're supposed to sow and how that process works. Okay? So that you can understand it. See, we don't want to just say something to you and then you forget about what was it. Well, what did she say? We want everything to be documented. You know, especially for those of you that don't make the rapture because of the way you act, and, you know, at least there'll be some information here for you, you know. So I just want to say that because you think you can just act any old kind of way and make it in. Think again. That, you know, so and so's the word. And I'm thinking, you know, and I'm just kind of listening to God as I'm sitting here talking. But the so-and-sos, and we have to become those wise and knowledgeable sowers. I think it's in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 that talks about casting your bread on the waters. And you don't know exactly when it's going to come back. You know what I mean? But you have to sow. You have to put things out there. You have to put good things out there, not just stuff, you know? You don't want to sow, like, indifference. You don't want to sow bad things upon people. You don't want to be in that environment. And all we've been seeing on the television is a whole lot of negativity. Well, I had to start watching some cartoons or something because it's like, this is outrageous. I don't need any more of this. So I had to take control of my spirit and my heart and go look at other things. I need to get out of that whole rat race that's been going on for these 2 years almost, you know? Because it's just continuing to go on and it's just being fed into you. It's being sown into you. Negativity. So we got to stop it. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be it for me for today. I just wanted to get that posted. Hopefully, those of you that are people of God, that really, really understand what I'm saying and have an ear to hear, will listen. This tape is only 39 minutes. You know, you can't sit for 39 minutes and learn something that's going to help you the rest of your life. Oh, well. Amen. So, bless you. God bless you. God keep you. Make his face to shine upon you. Amen. It's a positive. Talk to you later.